Good morning. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We are blessed to be here, so we got through Thanksgiving, so that's a blessing within itself. I reckon that means we didn't eat too much, right? Yeah, that would be debatable, wouldn't it? But I do appreciate you being with us this morning as we continue to work toward the work of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. But we're still in the Old Testament this morning as we continue to look at God's plan. And when we, when we examine the way I had never looked at it before, the way I'm looking at it, the way it appears to me now, is that, and we know there's warfare between God and Satan. And when God created man and placed him on the earth, and he created him in Satan's territory. Now we read one of our key verses is that we are created for the glory of God. Think on that for a moment. And let me remind you again that when God created man, he created man with a free will because he didn't want to make a man that automatically loved him, and that's all he could do, and he'd be like a puppet on a string. So he gave you and I a free will, and he wants us to love him from the depth of our heart because of what he has done for us. And of course, we know that major event is his son, Jesus Christ, whom he gave to suffer, bleed, and die on Calvary for you and my sins. But you and I, there's a battle, like I said, between God and man. And you and I are a product of that battle. So I want you to kind of think with me this morning as we look at some more scriptures. Bow with me just a word of prayer, and then we'll go back to Genesis in chapter number 2 again. Lord, we thank you again for the day and for your marvelous grace. We thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit. Because, Lord, we know that without it, we would know absolutely nothing about your precious word. Because the natural man comprehendeth it not. The natural man does not understand it. It must be spiritually discerned. So, Lord, we'd ask today that as we open your precious word, that you would be with us as we study it verse by verse and word for word, that we might better understand, that we might see your plan and your purpose and those things that you do. A perfect God with a perfect plan. And the thing that we need to do is to be thankful that we are part of it. And know that as we walk the journey of life, that you're ever present, you know our every need, you're able to meet that need. And then what we need to do is trust you and ask that you would help us to be subject to your will. Lord, bless this time together today. Maybe you be uplifted and glorified. May we praise and honor you for who you are and what you've done for us. Bless now, as only you can. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now, as we were closing last Sunday's lesson, and we looked at when Adam and Eve had sinned and Christ came to them and they blamed everybody, you know, everybody else but them. And then we find in Genesis chapter number 3, I think I said 2, but chapter number 3, in verse number 14, where God began to talk about the judgment. And we talked about the first one he addressed was the serpent. That's number one. And then the second thing that he addressed was the conflict between the seed of the serpent and of the woman. And then we come to part number 3, and we look at where he gave judgment on Eve, and then he gave judgment on Adam. So let's look at just a couple of things this morning as we get to this point. Now, he told the woman in verse number 16 that she conceived in sorrow. And she brings forth her children, and she shall be subject to the husband. And then unto Adam he said, in verse number 17, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee. And the thing that we see in all these is I commanded, I commanded, I commanded. One command that was given to Adam and Eve, and they couldn't keep that one command. But you know, we talked about the Garden of Eden, and when God planted the Garden of Eden, Eastern in the Garden of Eden, he planted the garden, he put Adam and Eve there, and he put the tree of knowledge and good and evil. The question is, why did he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And it goes back to what we've talked about. He gave a command. He wants man to obey him. He gave him one command. He said, don't eat of that tree. He gave Adam and Eve a free will to eat or not to eat. He gave Adam a free will to obey or not to obey. And we know that the old natural man can be tempted in so many ways. And we know as the serpent came in his all his beauty and his lies, and they were tempted, and he and they did eat. But here it says, in this you broke the command. It says, I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. So notice the world's curse, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. The sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. So we know physical death comes into the picture also, along with spiritual death. Now, we look in God's Word and we see where Adam and Eve, before their sin, they were in the presence of God in whatever matter that was. They fellowshiped with Him daily. And now we find that there's a situation that they are separated now, and sin has separated them and separated that relationship with the Lord, and it's not like it was prior. So now something's got to be done to bring them back into a relationship with the Lord. And I wish we had more details on what God did in chapter number 3 and verse number 21. But what we find is that it says unto Adam and his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. So now we see that something's got to be done to be brought them back into relationship with the Lord. And we find that God's plan of the shedding of blood for the redemption of sin is coming into play. Because now we see where two innocent animals that were going to lose their lives and shed their blood. so that the Lord God might take a coat of skin and cover the nakedness or the sin of Adam and Eve and put them in a position where they can be back in a relationship with the Lord. And you and I have no relationship with the Lord unless we have been washed by the precious blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God's precious Son and our Savior. So we see the God's plan beginning to be set into action. And then we know that God had to set a cherubim before the tree of life, the garden, protect it, so that Adam and Eve would not eat thereof and then live in that physical human body for eternity. So God's got a plan. And we see Him working His plan. But there's also, as we've seen, judgment, because God said, because you've done this, cursed is the ground, and Adam and Eve, you're going to bear children in pain. Adam, you're going to work to make a living, so to speak. Now, from this point on, we're going to see some unusual things in God's Word that I think shows us what I'm trying to express to you, and we're going to do that in one particular place. It's going to be in Job. But something that I wanted to bring your attention to between the point of Adam and Eve here in the Garden of Eden, and then we come to the point of the flood, I think we've got about 1,600 years that takes place. But I want you to look at chapter number 4, and let's look at verse number 1 for just a moment and read a few verses there. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And the next verse it says, now in the what? In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. In the process of time. How did they know that they were to bring an offering to the Lord? I think Adam and Eve had done what we have a responsibility to our children, to teach them the ways of the Lord. And I think we see a result here with the first two children that ever born, that mother and daddy showed them the ways of the Lord. And they knew there was an offering to be given. And they, in its time, the process of time, they've learned that. And they know that. And they bring the offering. But Cain, he's going to bring one of the field. And Abel, we know, he brought, in verse number 4, he brought what? The firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel in his office, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect, and Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, whose fault is this? Is it something that God's done to cause Cain to be in this position, or is it something Cain's done to be in this position? The thing of it is, it's disobedience that puts us in a situation. And here we are, the first two children that ever born to parents on the face of this earth after God created man. Here we find that one of them is trying to be disobedient to the Word of God, and the other one's following it in the process of time, it says. And the Lord said, you know, the Lord's, He is mighty patient with us. Mighty, mighty patient with us. Now, look at verse number 6. He said unto Cain, why thou walk? Why is thy countenance fallen? If, notice these four words, if thou doest well. Cain, all you got to do is do what? Just be obedient to the command. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? What's he saying? If you're obedient to the Lord, do what God said, then you're going to be accepted. Now, he also says that if you don't, what's going to happen? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, what comes with sin? We've just looked and see what God did with Adam and Eve because of that one command that they disobeyed. He cast them out of the garden, and he placed a judgment on them. Well, the same thing's going to be with Cain. We see these same examples. You know, Cain, if you don't do well, then the judgment is going to be at the door. Man's hard-headed. So what did Cain do? We know that what Cain did in verse number 8, sin's present. Man has a free will. Cain can do what God told him to do, and things will be what? Well with him. Or he can be hard-headed and do what he wants to do, and what? And judgment's going to be standing at the door. Because his disobedience brings sin, and sin brings judgment. So he goes and we know the story. He kills Abel. And then what does God do? He does what he always does. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 11, excuse me. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, what? My punishment is greater than I can bear. God can tighten the chains on you, I'm telling you. Without question, he can get our attention. But then Cain says, Lord, it's more than I can wear. And he said, people are going to look at me and they're going to slay me because of what I've done. Verse number 15, the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And then we know, as we look at verse number 16, it starts our first civilization, and our first civilization was not a good civilization. It's a civilization of the devil. Another key verse I want you to look at with me in verse number 25. And Abel knew his wife, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son. This is number 3. Called his name Seth, for the Lord was, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. I want you to look at the next verse, phrase in the next verse now. When we look at Cain and his generation, we look at an evil generation, but God's always got his people also called out. And it says unto Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enoch. Then began men to do what? To call upon the name of the Lord. So God still got his people too. And then it talks about the ancestry. But then we come to something else. We come to chapter number 6 in the book of Genesis. Chapter number 6 of the book of Genesis. is flood time. And he says that it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And look at verse number 3 now. And the Lord God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. The timetable. And then we know what the world comes to, just like it is today. Verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Now, I want to touch base on that verse just one moment. You think God don't know what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. But there's one little word in this kind of got my attention. I said that we are a product of the war between God and between Satan. Now, look at this verse with me. And it said, it repented the Lord that he had made man. And what's the next two words? On the earth. Now, let me read on. And it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both the man and the beast and the creeping thing and the fowl of the air, and it repented me that I have made them. You think God didn't know what he was doing? Sure he knew what he was doing. I think we've got a little phrase in there that when he said he repented that he made man on the earth. Remember now that when he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil there also. So there's the temptation of sin. Here is the war between God and Satan, and a man, us, are a product of that. And when he created man, he put him in Satan's backyard. He put him in his own territory. Oh, he is the ruler of, he said, remember, he's the ruler over the earth, so to speak, now, per se. This is his inheritance for the time being. He's the prince and the power of darkness. We'll get to something in Job in just a moment. And when he looks at this, and I think, and he makes this statement that he created man on the earth, he's looking at the struggle of mankind because he's on the earth in the devil's backyard. And he's a natural man, and he's prone. And remember now, when God created you and I, he created us a natural man subject to follow Satan more than God. Think on that just a moment. Do you have to teach your children good, or do you have to teach your children bad? Think about a baby. What's the only thing a baby knows to do when they're born to get attention? Cry. So they learn that what? Crying brings attention. Crying lets me get my way. So what have you got to do somewhere down the line? What does a young'un do when they want to have their own way, when they get a little size? They'll scream and holler and cry and have a T-moral fit. Cry, cry, cry. You've got to break that. If you don't break it, you're going to be in trouble, Mom and Daddy. And there ain't a thing in the world wrong with a switch. Amen. That's the problem we've got in the world today. You go look at the houses, and I'll guarantee you, you won't find the switch. You wouldn't find a switch in my daddy's house either, but daddy say, go out, shine on that tree, boy, and bring me something. He made me go get it. It didn't kill me, but it got my attention. And I knew when daddy said, boy, You had pushed that string as far as you better push it. See? So we're prone to do what? We're prone to disobedience. We're prone to disobey. That has to be broken. And that's the way God created us. We have a free will, folks. You can listen and be blessed, or you can be hard-headed and be punished. It's that plain and simple. So, and of course we know that what happened. God destroyed. He brought judgment. It brings judgment. Disobedience of God brings judgment. But we know He saved a family. I wonder what percentage Noah and his family was of all the creation at that time. And I wonder what percentage the church is today of all mankind. How close are we to another great judgment day? If you're going to go with me over to the book of Job, and I think this might explain a little deeper in what I'd like for us to see as we look at this. And it tells us about Satan also. It says in Job chapter number 1, verse number 1, there was a man of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and he shunned evil. Now, that don't mean he hadn't never sinned. He was totally perfect. But the thing of it is, now, I want you to notice this, he is upright and he feared God. And because he feared God, he did what? What's the next phrase in that verse? He has shunned evil. What caused him to shun evil? The fact that he believed in God and he feared God because he knew of the judgment of God. And he said, there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the substance was, he had 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So had the Lord blessed him? Sure he had. Now, I want you to look at verse number 6. And there was a day, we got a time, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, where has Satan come? He's come to the presence of the Lord. Now, the conversation all of a sudden changes, and the conversation is now going to be between God and Satan. And I want you to pay close attention to this. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro. Where? In the earth, his domain, so to speak, and from walking up and down in it. So that's where he resides. He's the prince and the power of the air. He's ever present. If our eyes could be open and we could see what's around us right now, we would probably be scared to death. Satan's got his demons, for you believe it or not. And they're present. And he said, the Lord said unto Satan. Now, who starts the conversation? Now, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Who starts the conversation? God does. Who's the conversation about? Job. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Satan. Now watch this. There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and a shunneth evil. He fears God. That tells him why he's the man that he is. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Now, who's asked this question? Satan. Says, does he fear you for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now, why is Job the man that he is? Why does he have a family that he has? And why does he have the substance that he has? It's all because of God and the blessings of God and the obedience of Job to God's commands. Okay? Now, Satan says, not only that, you put a hedge around him and I can't get to him. Now, if God is no respecter of persons, what does that mean? If you're a child of him this morning, guess what? You've got a hedge around you too. You'll think on that one a little bit. Verse number 11 says, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now, let me ask you a question at this point. What had Job got to do with this? Have you seen where Job has been involved in this conversation? Have you seen where Job has said one thing in this conversation? This conversation is between God and Satan. But this conversation between God and Satan is about a man called Job, which is subject of the act that's fixing to happen. What do we see? We see here God is showing the devil that I am the one in authority. And I'm telling you that Job is an upright man. Let's read on a little bit. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thine power. In thy what? Power. You think Satan don't have power? He said, it's in thy power, only unto him, only upon himself, put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. He said, there was a day when his sons and daughters were... Now, let's go to number 14, but time's getting away from me. And he said, there was a message, and Job just sitting around, and he said that there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen and the plow and the ass were feeding beside them, and the serpent fell upon them and took them away, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You pay attention to that phrase. Next one he says, while he was yet speaking, notice that phrase, while he was yet speaking. So now he's lost them this first time. He's lost his servants and his oxen and his asses that were plowing. And he said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of the Lord is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away yet and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking while in their elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. One sequence right after another. While he was yet speaking, another one. While he was yet speaking, another one. While he was yet speaking, another one. Now you go back and look when we talked about what he had, what Job had, and then look at what he just lost. And what's his reaction? And Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishness. Now, when did Job find out he's going to be involved in this? We've just read it. He didn't know anything was fixing to happen like this. But see, what we see here is it's an example of God's people. Regardless of what we go through in life, He still looks after us. But here we find that it's not Job that's on trial, per se. Job is a product of that trial. But who's being tried in this? Let's back up one more. I heard Satan. Let's back up one more. God said what? God says, you check Job out, and he will not curse me to my face. Who's on trial? The truth of God's on trial. The faith of Job in God. God said he'll not curse me. It don't make any difference what you do. We go back, and our time's gone. I've got to quit. I want to start in verse. We want to look at Job just a little bit more, Lord willing. Next Sunday, the conversation between Lord. See, this is the whole picture to me, is that God and Satan are still in the battle over this world that we live in. And we're like Job, we're a product of that battle. And this test is, this world we live in is going to test our faith. But it's going to show the authority of God Almighty. It's going to show the authority of God Almighty. God said he'll not curse me. And guess what? He didn't. God bless you.